He's been preparing. I know. I've talked to him. He's been praying. He's ready to minister to us.
Thank you, Pastor Taylor.
Well, good evening. It's an honor to be with you tonight. Thank you, Brother Rica, for that testimony. Bless my heart. When I first came back to the Lord, I was in the Navy, and the first book I read was Peace with God that brought me back by Billy Graham. And then I read Tortured for Christ, which was about a Romanian pastor who went through some awful things under the Ceausescu regime. But that book really touched my heart. Kathy and I have been friends with your pastor for many years. We had the privilege of having our son babysat by them, and they experienced their first projectile vomit through the courtesy of my son, Justin, who's now 7 foot tall.
Yes.
But
he could projectile that.
He was good. He was good. Well, when we've got a family living with us just temporarily right now. They're working on a house that's not renovated properly, and so they've got 4 little girls. And we came home from a brief vacation with family 2 weeks ago, and we don't have a dining room table anymore, because on the dining room table is a puzzle. Coincidentally, as we think about the theme of the conference this week, what part of the puzzle do you fit into? And, you know, the puzzle lies dormant there at home because nobody's working on it. And we've got to be working on the puzzle, the missionary puzzle. And tonight I want to have the privilege of talking to you about how that you could perhaps be a missionary to what we often refer to as a foreign country. Basically, everywhere is foreign to the Christian because our home is in heaven, isn't it? And so this is foreign to us. But Pastor Taylor and I have a mutual friend named Mike Pepper, who was a trustee with me when I had the privilege to serve at the college in Boston. And through God's providence, his daughter married a man who was a native of Sierra Leone. And at 70 years of age, he became a missionary in Sierra Leone. And God has done some marvelous things through that ministry in the last few years to this gentleman who surrendered to be a missionary at 70 years of age. So you just don't know, if your heart is open, what God might do with you. So I hope your heart will be open tonight to the first piece of the puzzle, that you should be open to whether God would have you to go and join these honored people who are missionaries here today to some foreign land. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, and look at a passage of Scripture that you're probably familiar with in verse number 3. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 3. God's message to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, which I think in applying it today, we can think about it in regards to ourselves as the church here, the Victory Baptist Church in Vergennes. Verse 3 says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Would you join me in praying one more time, please? Father, we come to you this evening and thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Father, you know that I cannot preach. I cannot communicate anything that's of value. Without you, I can do nothing. And so tonight, I desire that you would take control of my mind and heart and make me a blessing to your people. Make me an instrument, a voice for the Lord Jesus' glory and for the good of your kingdom, the benefit of this New Testament church. And we commit ourselves to you, and I pray you give ears to hear as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text contains directions from the Lord, and he's the only self-existent eternal being in the universe, and he is the one before whom we will be judged. And he gives us some important instruction here. And I think two conclusions are impressed upon us by the Lord's command in this passage. First of all, your land has been redeemed. Our hearts are likened to the seed or the ground in the Bible through which the seed of the Word of God, in which the seed of the Word of God is planted. And good ground is classified as ground that's receptive to the Bible, receptive to the Word of God. So if my heart's good, it'll be open. It'll be receptive to the Word of God. And it'll be accompanied by ears that hear. Sunday morning, we had a young man who brought a girl who was really tripped out. I think she was probably high on drugs at the time. And God gave liberty that service. We had a wonderful crowd, a good spirit in the church. But the whole time that I was preaching, she was basically sound asleep. She had no ears to hear. I hope your ears are open. I hope your heart is open tonight. I hope you'll start out tonight by saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. I'm bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not my own. So I'm open to being a missionary. Now, that doesn't mean God's going to call you to be a missionary to a foreign land, but you need to be open to that. You should be open to that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We should all be open to the will of the Lord. There's a beautiful analogy in Scripture about redeeming land. When Mahlon and Chilion, Elimelech's sons, died in a foreign land in Moab, they came back to the land of Israel with Ruth and Naomi, came back to Israel. You know the story in the book of Ruth. And a kinsman redeemer was found who would redeem their land and marry Ruth. And they had been in a desperate situation. They needed that redemption. And I think there's a good analogy there. When you think about us, we're in desperate need of redemption. The land of our heart was in desperate need of redemption. Amen? And we needed somebody who was a kinsman redeemer, who was like us, but yet able and qualified to redeem us. And the only one who was able and qualified had to be God. But he had to be human. And that's the story of Jesus, isn't it? That's why he came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he willingly laid down his life. And that divine intervention, that initiative that Jesus asserted was required. And thank God he did that for us and we can be saved. Amen? And so because of that, we have hope and we have a message to share. As he is, as he was, so are we in the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So your land's been redeemed. Your heart's been redeemed if you're saved, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If you haven't, I hope you will before this week is out. But your land is to be employed. That's the second thing. Your land is to be employed. He says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. When the church is viewed as a house, I think each member should be seen as a room. When the church is viewed as a body, each member should be seen as a body part with unique function. When the church is viewed as a garden, each member should be a segment of the soil. Each garden would be like a local assembly. You think of a raised garden where space is at a premium. A small garden can do more than a larger one that has fallow ground or poor soil. And when you see fruit coming from a garden, it's exciting. It's a wonderful thing. It's miraculous to me. Every time I see vegetables coming out of our raised vegetable garden, I am impressed with what the Lord is doing. Certainly can't take your responsibility for it. But fallow ground is what? It's hard-packed ground. It's ground that hasn't been tilled. It hasn't been plowed. And there's no ability for it to receive the seed. So God tells us we should break up our fallow ground. That's our responsibility, to open up our hearts. He tells us to break it up. Unbroken ground is of no use to God's seed. There can be no blessing without effort. And we can't just pray. We've got to be open to doing the will of the Lord. I think prayer is an offensive thing if we don't couple it with obedience. Every segment of his garden is for fruit. And you're important in God's plan. 2 months before I was privileged to take the pastorate of Heritage Baptist Church in Springfield, Mass., President Ronald Reagan was shot. Now, if you've been around a while, you remember that day. And not only was he shot, but there was something else that happened in Philadelphia. For 3 weeks, he was out of commission. But also for those weeks in Philadelphia, the garbage collectors went on strike. And it turned into a real big mess in Philadelphia. So you think about that. There was a bunch of garbage everywhere on the streets, and people couldn't even get around because there was so much garbage piling up. Who's more important, president or garbage collectors? You know, in some sense, I think we can see that all of us have importance. Amen? I'm glad that there are nursery workers at Victory Baptist Church. Otherwise, it would be a little louder in here, don't you think? I'm glad when I go to a restaurant, there are people who clean the restrooms when I go into the restrooms. I mean, what would Walmart be without greeters? Amen? What would Amazon be without Prime? I mean, you know that all those things have their place. But Jesus gave us an example. You remember, he didn't even have latex gloves on, and he washed the dirty feet of his disciples. And he said, I've done this for you to give you an example so that you can see how you should live and how you should serve other people. And you should put other people before yourself many times. No task is demeaning to a Christian. You do it as unto the Lord. Amen? Whatever you do, you do it as unto the Lord. When you think about gardening too, rocks and weeds have to be taken out of the soil so that it can receive the seed. And of course, thorns, it says there in the verse, doesn't it? Sow not among thorns. And you know, thorns came about because of sin, didn't they? In the original Garden of Eden, the earth was to bring forth thorns because of the sin of Adam and Eve. So we should get rid of the sin in our lives. If I get the sin out of my life, if I repent and I confess it, then I'm a fit vessel for the Lord. I can receive the word of God. I have ears to hear, and I'm open to the scriptures. We need to recognize that we're all sinners, aren't we? We never get past that. We always have need of confession. I was walking back and forth at the church fertilizing the lawn a couple of weeks ago, and a city councilor named Tim Allen, that's a friend of mine that I know, was walking by, and he came into the parking lot. His car had been parked there in our lot. And we got into a conversation. I started to witness to him a little bit, and he said to me in the course of that conversation, I believe no person is evil. No person is evil. I said, Tim, all of us are sinners. All of us need a Savior. All of us need Jesus. And I don't know how he got his theology, but he's really mixed up, wouldn't you say? Amen? It doesn't take long to live in this world to realize that children sin, and they don't get it because they're taught to sin necessarily by their parents. They get it because of the inheritance from their parents. But he was a nice man. He still is. He's educated. He's recognized. He's powerful in our city. But he's confused about theology. And he doesn't know that he needs a Savior. And I've invited him to our friend day in a week, so I hope he'll come. And maybe he'll get saved. But we need to be witnessing to people that are nicely dressed and important and prominent in our city. And we need to witness to people who are poorly dressed and not so prominent. Amen? And we need to think about the fact that everybody needs the Lord all around the world. People in Romania, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Bolivia, Colombia. Amen? Everywhere they need the Lord. And it's worthwhile because Jesus came to die for sinners so that they could have hope. And if we don't spread the news, the hope's not going to get there. I'd like you to turn to James chapter 2 for a moment. Would you flip over there with me? The book of James, right after Hebrews, the end of your New Testament. And just be reminded that we should not look to people by evaluating their wealth, their prominence, their education. We should look at every person as a needy sinner for whom Christ died. Look at verse 8 of James chapter 2. James said, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. In the church garden, every segment is important. Every one of us is important. And everyone outside of the church is important. You know, the church is the only organization that really exists for the people outside. We love God first, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen? And we need to recognize that God loves them and wants them to be saved. I read an interesting poem by Annie Johnson Flint, kind of went along with what Elizabeth sang. That was a beautiful song, wasn't it? She said this, Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in the way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We're the only Bible the careless world will read. We're the sinner's gospel, the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message given in word and deed. If the type is crooked, what if the print's blurred? What if our hands are busy with other work than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongue is speaking of things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him or welcome his return? You know, the first part of our puzzle is that God wants you. God needs you. And God's calling, I believe, to many people who aren't listening. And we should be saying, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm open. My heart is open to you if you call me, and I'll go. And we ought to be praying and saying, Lord, I'm receptive to that. I like the song Carrie Underwood sang, Holy Spirit, take the wheel. Take the wheel of my selfish heart. Then there needs to be added water to the garden. I think the Holy Spirit will give us that watering, that compassion. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. The only compassion I have for people is what God gives me. The only compassion you have for people spiritually is what God gives you. And he'll give you that compassion if you'll be open to him. And he'll give you that burden. The garden of heaven is going to be filled by the moving of the Holy Spirit. And he gets the credit for it. You know, you're an ambassador for Christ. We serve at his pleasure, and the Holy Spirit is looking for willing candidates. I like what Isaiah said. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Would you bow your head for just a moment? We're not quite through, but would you do that and just say, Lord, here am I, send me. And don't pray it insincerely. Ambassadors are appointed to foreign countries. And really it's up to them whether they accept their appointment. And we're ambassadors for Christ. The Father sent Jesus to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Will you join him? The glory of God's our business, our only business. Every person was created for that purpose, to glorify God. And the gospel alone restores each individual's ability to fulfill their purpose, to glorify God. Only through Jesus Christ can that happen. And that good news from a distant land is welcome when it affects us. The gospel's good news from heaven, it's timeless. It's the everlasting gospel. So puzzle piece number one, volunteer to be a foreign missionary. Pray with me. Father, we thank you tonight that you have called us ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ. And as though God did beseech us in Christ's stead, we pray for people to be reconciled to God. And we ask you, Lord, tonight that you'd help us by speaking to us. I pray that for someone here that you would put your finger on, your hand upon them, and you'd say, I want you to go. I want you to be a missionary in a different land. I want you to be willing, and I'm calling you to go, that you'd make that very clear. But tonight, as a church, we open our hearts to you, and we pray that you'd have your way, and we are receptive. We're breaking up our fallow ground, and we're listening. So call us and guide us to do your will. We claim your promise that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and that you'll direct us and teach us in the way in which we should go, and you'll guide us with your eye. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Pastor Taylor, would you come, please?